And now, from high atop the Camelback Towers in Scottsdale, from the Star Worldwide Network Studios, a man whose life revolves around his family, sports, grilling, and bad jokes, your host of the Dad Podcast, talking all things dad, here's Chris Brewer.
All right, another Thursday, another Dad Podcast. Woohoo! Yes, thank you. Listener, as you may know, we're out of the Star Worldwide Networks in Scottsdale, which is super cool because right now we're like the nexus of the sports universe. We've got the Super Bowl here. We've got one of the biggest PGA Tour events of the year, which is always Super Bowl weekend, now known as the WM Phoenix Open. And much of the pre-Super Bowl, that whole Super Bowl week, is minutes from where we're at here in the studio. So, Chris, welcome back. And Sean, and I was talking with Robin a little bit about this pre-show. Like, when I drove in, I was a little concerned with traffic, but I got to drive right past the golf tournament and then through Old Town Scottsdale a little bit, which is where Radio Row is, and all of the celebrities and all of that stuff going on. It's really cool down here right now. Sean, you're in the L.A. area. Did you experience any of that with the Super Bowl being in L.A. last year? SoFi Stadium?
No, not so much. I think that L.A. is just such a big area. L.A. was the center of the sports world on Tuesday night with LeBron James beating the all-time scoring record. So that was kind of a fun thing.
Yeah,
and watch that. But football, not so much. And what's even more interesting, I remember a few years back when the Rams made the Super Bowl for the first time, or since they'd been back to LA. I remember driving my friend through LA that weekend to take him someplace, and even driving directly through LA, I may have seen one marquee on one bar that mentioned the Super Bowl.
that sounds like LA.
Yeah, very, very, very much so. So I think that, you know, from sports to sports and time to time, it's a little bit different.
Well, it's the energy's really cool here. But I'm a huge sports fan and a huge football fan, and I don't know about you guys, but I love the weekend of the Super Bowl. I'm thinking about what I want to do food wise on Sunday, and whether I'm into the teams or not. Like this year, what probably one of the least interested I'm in with both of the teams, the Chiefs and the Eagles. But it's still a thing, and then I still get a little down, I guess you could say, after the Super Bowl's over, just knowing football season's over. And so the weekends are different. Chris, I know you watch football.
I look at it as the glass half full way, because it means baseball is that much closer, and spring training will be landing here in the area for a good period of time before it kicks the season off. And I'm a big baseball guy too. So no, that's just the way I look at it. So it's like, well, that routine of football for Sundays, I used to be a lot bigger into it, as you know. But, you know, I still follow my team. I'm not as in-depth or don't get very emotional with it anymore because it isn't good for my health. So, I take the opportunity to get pumped for baseball, and that season seems to go on forever, and I don't have a problem with that. You know, I can miss some, catch some, it's good. And just keep on top of it for the rest of the year. But I drive past the Super Bowl site twice a day, Monday through Friday.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I've seen the progression daily. And, you know, the parking lot there, it looks like it has permanent structures, like, you know, three-story buildings in there and all sorts of wild stuff. It's just, it's amazing how they just pop it up and it turns into the media hub of the continental U.S. And then, you know, people from around the globe are there too. So every network, every news station, right, they're all out there.
I would imagine also in LA, so much of that stuff is already,
it's already based. Yeah.
That's not all built as much. So it doesn't change the infrastructure of stuff as much.
Well, you're also home there to arguably the worst sports town in the country. I'm just going to call out LA for being LA. I remember growing up there. This is the LA sports fan. They lost the Rams and the Raiders. They both moved, and the fans there were more excited that now we will actually get the NFL doubleheader, and we won't get stuck with a Ram or Raider game. That was a true story. So I've got LA fans. Sorry.
You were a diehard Clippers fan growing up.
I still am. That's the only LA team I like. But if they were good. Yeah. Back then, I probably wouldn't have liked them, even if I liked them because they drafted my favorite player of all time growing up, Danny Manning. But what I was going to say as far as the Super Bowl goes is I'm still pushing for the Super Bowl, for the whole season to be pushed back 1 week. So then the Super Bowl would be played the day before President's Day. So then we'd have the day off after the Super Bowl.
And that hasn't been done because?
They like to start the season right after Labor Day. That's just what I've heard. Okay. But if they add another week to the season, I could see that eventually happening. But I I'm not alone on that because I've heard that argument as well, how cool that would be that then you didn't have to worry about, you know, work the next day.
Or you wouldn't have employees calling in sick.
This is true. Yeah, and I think...
Most people don't worry about work the next day anyway.
I'm sure we will fact check this, but I swear I saw this stat once that the day after the Super Bowl was either like the biggest call-in sick day of the year or ranked as like one of the most least productive days at work.
Depends on if your team wins.
That too.
Because you could be depressed.
I wouldn't need to fact check that one. I'd buy you on that.
I just know that there have been a few times, and we'll get into some of these later, that I may have had one too many tabs and chicken wings, and Monday wasn't a fun day.
Especially
anyway.
If you're traveling.
We're talking about the caffeine.
Yes, we will. There's a story there. I actually reached out to try to get a celebrity on the show this week, guys.
God knows there's plenty of them in town.
That's why I did it. But I've mentioned one of my favorite shows, the Dan Patrick Show, and they are here in Scottsdale. And Chris, they're actually doing their show out of a spring training stadium. They're doing their show out of where the Giants play in Old Town San Francisco or Old Town Scottsdale. But I reached out to the Dan Patrick Show and just said, hey, if any of you guys would want to come on, we're just a few minutes away. We're talking all things dad. They're all dads. But I heard crickets. And
you should have brought tacos.
I should have. I don't know if that would have changed anything, but I really did. Yep, there we go. That is what I got. It's like Sean at home.
Oh.
But I really did reach out to him. But the celebrities are all over. I mean, it's one, you get Super Bowl week. Two, you have the golf tournament. We're talking, you know, A-listers here. I know, like, Bryan Cranston was even auctioning off his Super Bowl tickets for charity.
Oh, wow.
And that was a cool thing. What was that,
Some
Chris?
Celebrities have already left, too. Like, Michael Irvin had to leave early, I read.
Yeah, I don't know if that was by choice.
Mm-mm, not from what I
know. No, but I'm still not sure what he did.
I was listening to a funny bit on the radio yesterday morning about the one-star hotels and the prices of them this weekend. You know, and,
yes.
Oh, yeah.
Needing to spend $500 or $700 for a one-star hotel in your area.
Yes.
This week. And of course, I was immediately brought back. Chris was going to double his annual salary by renting his place out for the week. What happened to that?
Two things. One, you would have made, had anyone rented their house out, or I'm going to say be able to rent their house out, you truly would have made thousands and thousands of dollars. However, to my wife's point and my sister's point, they even went way above and beyond as far as the regulations go. I didn't read all of the fine print, but HOAs really shut that stuff down. And I don't know actually if it would have been worth what you had to do. So anyway, like I think there's been so many issues with doing that kind of like vacation rental sites like Lake Tahoe is like, we're done with allowing you to rent out your house for a week or a weekend.
Gotcha.
But like I was saying, Bryan Cranston, you know, auctioning off his tickets, A-list celebrities all over the place. And I'm walking around and I ran into someone I thought I recognized scalping tickets. And I'm like, what? Because you're not even really supposed to be scalping tickets anymore. You're supposed to get them from like StubHub or something like that. And I'm like, what? Like, no, that's like a huge, huge celebrity. And then I go up to him, I'm like, are you selling Super Bowl tickets? He's not even scalping Super Bowl tickets. He's trying to scalp Super Bowl experience tickets. And these are like $20 tickets for kids, like to go do like a Saturday, throw the ball around and see if you get the ball through the hoop. And I'm like, what are you doing? And just got to talking. But guys, we were super close to having a real A-lister on. Goots. We were going to have Steve Guttenberg on the show and missed out. Just couldn't make that happen. But he was out scalping kids' Super Bowl experience tickets out in Glendale. So I was a little surprised by that.
What a long stretch from Mahoney.
That's
a shame.
And now Goots is, could have been 3 men and a baby right here.
And Mahoney.
How many Police Academy movies were there? Was it 7?
Really? I think I lost count after 5.
I didn't see all of them.
No, me neither.
Was it 7?
Me neither.
Don't know.
But
we'll have to check that.
It's called Google.
I liked a lot of the first 3, maybe I'd say, and then they were pushing it like the Bobcat, adding Bobcat, the comedian, to the cast as the punk guy. I thought he was good.
That was great. Yes.
I remember him.
Tackleberry was awesome. I mean, that the legendary character. Mahoney was legendary. And then I think it was Michael something, the voice guy.
The guy who did the voices. He was.
Those were entertaining.
He was big for a while.
I enjoyed it.
You're right. 7.
7. All right. We have our fact checker.
And they even had a TV series that didn't last but 1 year.
Oh, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
Is that streaming now on Paramount Plus? I'm joking.
They even had an animated series that lasted.
That
a year.
I do remember.
Yeah, they had 2. So at least they made something out of it. And they also had a theme park attraction. Wow. No, way to milk the franchise.
Wow.
Jeez.
This is everything I talked to Steve about when I ran into him, by the way. So I'm having the same conversation.
He didn't know. He was thinking there were 7 of them, but he wasn't quite sure, right?
He thought there were 5.
He might have been left out of a couple. Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought because of Super Bowl week, everything going on here, I thought we'd talk Super Bowl. I mean, I don't know. I grew up with it. I grew up watching football, and Super Bowl weekend's always just been a really cool weekend, and there's been some very meaningful things that have happened over Super Bowl week. And I have three that I wanted to get to, and then guys, if you have some, feel free to jump in. But the very first Super Bowl memory that I have, growing up in Southern California, we would get the Super Bowl to come to our area, and 1979 season, so January 1980, Super Bowl's being played in Pasadena, and it's the Rams and the Steelers. And listener, you probably know this, guys. I know you know this. I'm a diehard Steeler fan, and I'm a diehard Steeler fan because that's where my family grew up, and my dad was a diehard Steeler fan. So he and his good friend Chris, they went to the game, and this is how much the Super Bowl has changed. So I was may have just turned four, or just about to turn four, but I'm aware that my dad is going to the Super Bowl. They have no tickets. They're just going to go down there, and they scalped Super Bowl tickets. And then, again, to how much things have changed, as it turns out, they then sat with the scalper. And the scalper is sitting there watching the game and apparently was wearing one of those like long raincoats, those khaki, the old raincoats. And it's full of those little liquor bottles. And he's making them drinks during the game.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
And I remember as a almost 4-year-old or a 4-year-old, I'm watching the game, but I'm spending the whole time trying to find my dad, who was wearing a green jacket. And I just remember that was my first memory of the Super Bowl, spending the whole day trying to find my dad in his green jacket. And little did I know, he was having drinks with the scalper. They're watching the Super Bowl. Then the second one that came to mind, 2005 Super Bowl. So this was Steelers, Seahawks. And now this was the first real Super Bowl. I know the Steelers made it in the 90s and lost here in Tempe to the Cowboys. But I was in college then, so I wasn't able to like be with my dad or anything like that. So 2005 Super Bowl turns out to be this, what was clearly becoming this incredible week for my family. So coincidentally, there was a tennis conference going on that weekend, and it was just a Friday, Saturday. And I'm like, that's perfect. I can go to the conference. I could stay at my parents, and then as it turns out, the Steelers made the Super Bowl. Then I'm learning that weekend that my sister and not yet brother-in-law were going to come down and watch the Super Bowl. So this is turning out to be awesome. Then Chris tells me, like that week, something else is going to happen this week. And I'm like, oh, yeah, what? He was going to propose to my sister and did so in the backyard. Chris, you want to jump in? And what was your thinking? Was that planned ahead of time for that weekend? Or did you decide to do it because of what you knew was going on?
That helped finalize the date and the place for it and involving the family with it. But I I'd gotten the ring. I was trying to figure out how to not make it tacky or current at the same time, not, you know, like do some trendy proposal, that like that kind of stuff that you see. It comes and goes. And conveniently, the Steelers decided to win better than do, you know, than what their par is now. Is we're successful because we win over 500% of our games, or half of our games. So we're a winner. That's been our protocol for a while. Anyway, I'll stop digging on current times. But back then, they
this is when you can use the crickets thing, Robin.
Yes, yes. Anybody who knows me knows that, though. That's yeah. not a success.
There we go.
Nevertheless, that opportunity came up to go see the Super Bowl with your dad, and I'm just going, wow, everything's kind of syncing up here. This
it's
is
totally
amazing.
Falling into place. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's like, I couldn't have planned it better, but the scenario presented itself for me to do it. And knowing your parents, you know, I called and asked your father's permission, for it, just to make sure all was good. And,
that's,
you know,
so
he was
cool.
Okay with me joining the family.
He gave the first ever maybe to that question.
And yeah,
by
and,
the way.
And ruining his daughter's future. Yeah. You know?
That's so cool, though. Who does that anymore? Who asked the dad permission? Who does that anymore?
I did.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, you guys are old school. I'm talking in the generations today. Nobody seems to do that anymore. The dad's
no,
like, yeah,
my,
take
I
her
asked
off my
my
hands.
Wife permission.
Oh. Well, that's different.
No,
I'm talking about
I'm
ask. Did
yes.
you ask her father?
Yes,
to,
I did.
You
I
did?
Yeah.
Oh, how sweet. You guys are so cool.
Thanks, Robin.
All right, Chris. So my dad says maybe, and then what happens?
And I proceed with the plan, and I notify your mother as late as possible. I mean, she has a tendency to let things slip. That's been a historical characteristic that she's had. So entrusting that big of a vital piece of what's going down, I didn't want her to lose any more sleep than she already would, because she plans perfect trips when company comes. Everything is awesome. So, you know, I didn't want to throw that in there and then risk the fact of it accidentally slipping in a conversation with her daughter on accident. So did that last minute, which made it kind of entertaining for me. Get down there and everything proceeds to plan. And like Chris said, I was able to propose in the backyard there, and, you know, the family was there, and, you know, it was at the house that everybody grew up as a family in. So it was really, really cool. And then for it to be such an amazing week, we're rewarded with a week Super Bowl, but the Steelers won, so I was very happy.
I think the proposal was shorter than that story, but be that as it may.
Don't ask me questions again, then, man.
Hey, it's
glad you're here.
It's the thought, man.
I'm just glad you're here.
It's the thought.
It was it was one of the biggest moments in our family's history, and then. So we had that occurred Saturday, and then Sunday is obviously Super Bowl Sunday, and Chris and I are completely jacked up and have no idea what to do with this nervous energy. We tried hugging it out. That did not work. Tried slip and slide. Didn't work. Just the two of us.
Oh.
No, but like... It's 10 in the morning, and we're like, I don't know what we're supposed to do. So then I was like, you know what? We should find a place that sells beers from Pennsylvania and bring them back to the house. Now, this is before there was no Total Wine, and BevMo had just opened up. So we're like, hey, let's go to that BevMo. So we drive to BevMo, like right after they opened. And we did find one brewery from Pennsylvania. We had no idea where it was in Pennsylvania. We just knew hey, we found beers from Pennsylvania. So we buy a bunch of them and bring them back to the house. We still don't know what to do with all of this energy. And we just start cracking open beers at like 11. And this isn't, you know, Miller Lite here. These are bigger beers, dark beers. 11 o'clock. The game doesn't kick off until, I don't know, at 3:30-ish, 4 o'clock. And we proceed to go out front and play catch with the football and drink beer. And game starts totally excited. But we've been drinking all day and then all through the game. And Robin, I that was about the most ripped I've ever gotten in my entire life.
Do you even remember the game?
No, I even have that in my notes. I had to rewatch the game.
Wow.
We have pictures. We have pictures that to prove he was there. For
oh my
it.
Gosh.
We were drinking like Samuel Smith's
yes.
brown ale, oatmeal stout
at noon.
And wow.
just rookie. So, excited.
Oh, totally rookie move.
Stuff.
And I. That's why I brought up that I went to this tennis conference because my work at the time, you know, was covering the costs of the tennis conference. So I had all of my receipts that I was supposed to keep, and I'm driving back Monday, totally worthless. I have now lost all of the receipts. I don't know where they are. I've got to drive back to Arizona that morning. I do somehow, and I remember getting to a gas station outside of Palm Springs, and things happened at the pump that I could not prevent, and I just had to go inside, and I pay for the gas. I'm like, I'm sorry, but I threw up at your pump. And
not the first time it's ever happened, I'm sure.
And he just kind of gave me a nod. And then I drove back to Arizona. It was totally worth it, but to this day, one of the biggest rookie moves of all time. And then the last one that I had, 2008 Super Bowl. So there's some cool stuff here. So we were going to have a good team that year, the Steelers, and listener doesn't know this, but I would talk to my dad during every Steeler game before he died. So every Sunday, we'd turn the Steeler game on. He'd be in Southern California. I'd be in Arizona. And we would call each other. It wouldn't be text because we didn't do that. We would call each other during the game and, hey, did you see that play? I can't believe that they're not calling that. What's going on? And we would do that every Sunday. So my dad dies during the season of 2008. And we were clearly going to have a good team that year. And he dies, I guess you could say, mid-season. So now, this is the first time in years I'm now watching the Steelers on Sunday, not talking to my dad. And I believe Chris and I started talking during games. Well, I'm driving out during the season to visit my mom, and we're on the freeway, my family and I drive past a sign, a freeway sign that simply says Tampa, and it must have been for the street, but it just said Tampa. And I got chills because the Super Bowl that year was going to be played in Tampa Bay. And I drove past that sign on the freeway. I believe everybody was asleep in the car, and I got chills, and I could just feel it. We're going to go to the Super Bowl. I just know we're going to the Super Bowl. And I felt that the whole year. And during that season, our quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, was just having all of these incredible comebacks, wins, and we get to the Super Bowl. And we're playing the Arizona Cardinals, and it turns out to be one of the best Super Bowls of all time. And at that point, some would argue perhaps the best Super Bowl of all time. And incredible plays going on there, actually historic plays going on in that game. And we're watching the Super Bowl. Chris has come out. My mom has come out. My sister Betsy has come out. We're watching this game at my house, and we're winning the whole game. And then the Cardinals score, and it's like, oh my gosh, we just lost the lead, like for the first time. And we've got a little more than 2 minutes to go, and I remember smiling, like we got this. Because our quarterback had done it all year, and I've got my dad up in heaven, who I know is watching the game, and it's like 2 minutes to go, and I distinctly remember smiling and saying to myself, "We got this." And Ben leads us down, and then we're treated to one of the greatest throws and catches in Super Bowl history.
Second and goal at the 7. 43 seconds to go. Ben gets the snap. He scrambles around, throws it back corner of the end zone. Santonio with a touchdown! Santonio Holmes! I don't know how he did it! Dominique Rogers-Cromartie doesn't know how he did it, but they rule touchdown in the far right corner of the end zone.
Mowaldi goes out in the flat, Hines post, and actually Ben was looking at Hines initially, then he looks for Santonio in the corner, and Santonio goes up, comes down with his feet down in the corner. What a throw, what a catch, what a game!
That, I still get chills when I hear that.
I got chills listening to that. Just weird. That was cool.
So, listener Robin, Sean, just imagine, and then Chris, I want your emotions here. Just imagine, lost my dad, lost, you know, my mom's lost her husband. Chris has lost a father figure. And we know he's watching, and we just treated to just one of the greatest Super Bowls of all time. We just lost it. Chris?
Yeah, I remember that game going into the half just specifically because it wasn't just like the play, like you said, it was the entire game. I was just loaded with stuff. I remember the big momentum swing where the Cardinals were in the red zone, like within the 5, and Warner threw that pick to Harrison
right before the half
that he took. The entire distance of the field is the longest. It's basically as long as you can return anything in a game, let alone the Super Bowl, for a touchdown. And I to the point where it was like I kind of came back to myself after losing my composure there, just jumping around and yelling, that I realized I was the guy that knocked one of Chris Brewer's shelves down from literally me jumping around.
Yeah.
And after the game and that, I was completely exhausted, just like the emotional ride leading up to that game and all that we had experienced as a first, as a family unit, and seeing that is just kind of a completely immaculate game. It was such a treat. When the game ended, I had to take a walk by myself out in Chris's neighborhood. I didn't know where the hell I was. I like intentionally got lost, I think, but I was out walking for about 40-45 minutes and finally came back and was just like, yeah, that really happened.
I do remember, and this is why we can recall all of this. Chris and I woke up that day And I believe the first things said to each other, okay, we have to be smarter. And we had like a whole yes. game plan of we have got, like, we're playing the game, apparently. We have got to go into the game much smarter than the last time we were in the Super Bowl. As if we're suiting up.
If you drank that one away.
We were not going to do that. I do have one real quick one, Sean, that involves you. But you were having, and this is, again, one of the greatest Super Bowls of all time. It was the Bills-Giants Super Bowl. The war was going on, and you were inviting us over to your house for the Super Bowl. And I was going to go, and then my mom said, you know, it would probably mean a lot to your dad if you stayed and watched the game with him. And I didn't even really have to think about it. I was like, no, you're right. And then it called you and canceled and watched the game with my dad, and turned out to be one of the greatest Super Bowls of all time. That was the famous Whitney Houston National Anthem Super Bowl and wide right on the kick
Norwood.
At the end, Scott Norwood. But you had invited all of us over to your game for the game. What's that?
What year was that?
Want to say that was 92.
Yes. 92 is where my mind went.
Because the war was going on, and that's why it was so emotional with the national anthem. But, you know, it's too bad how the NFL and pro sports have changed a bit, because growing up, you know, Super Bowl Sunday was such a thing. It still is, obviously. It's just changed a bit, but some really neat memories, especially when you grew up with a sports dad. And got to enjoy all those things. So when I was putting the show together and thinking about the Super Bowl, I just there are just so many good memories there. I can go on and on, but again, go ahead, Chris.
You mentioned you made reference to a halftime show. I am not a halftime show guy. I'll say it right now that I remembered the nip slip from Janet Jackson. I don't watch them, honestly. I just don't. But I remembered that one.
Remember who played in that game?
No.
I know this because we're gonna do a little. We're gonna do a little trivia later. I almost asked this question.
Did you watch last year's, Chris?
I gotta answer the question first. It was the Panthers-Patriots Super Bowl. That's when the nip slip happened.
And he's probably got this written down, right?
Not that.
No, not that? Wow.
I remembered the Bruno Mars performance because I was like, oh, this guy is actually good.
No, that was one of my favorites, and I'm not a halftime guy.
The Prince one was also awesome. I love the Prince one.
In the rain.
It's usually halftime is like, okay, I get a break from the game for over an hour. So I enjoy that by going and pillaging what's left of sitting out on the table in different areas of the house, you know.
See, that's funny because Sean texted me, can we please get a few minutes in to talk Rihanna? And what do you think she's going to bring?
No, I did not say that.
No. I did actually, in case it came up, I did have my favorite halftime show. I really do have one. I thought she did awesome. I thought Katy Perry's halftime show was the best halftime show I saw. Because it felt like an Olympics opening ceremony.
And that's a good thing?
I'm going to turn in my man card now, but I like that one.
I was shocked, man.
I thought last year's was great.
Last year's was good.
In L.A.
I just remember scaring my kids because I played 90s rap music all day leading up to that. And I know they were freaked out.
Way to represent.
Yeah, I was. I will not be playing Rihanna all day on Sunday. All right, questions for you guys. Robin, you too. Super Bowl-related questions. Would you rather, and we actually touched on this a little bit last week, would you rather go to a Super Bowl party or watch the game on your own couch?
I'm on my own couch. That's me.
Me
definitely.
Too. Sean, I think you were both.
A little bit of both, yeah.
Okay, Robin?
Definitely couch, because too many people, too much talking going on. You can't see the game. They're too busy rattling the whole time.
I'll go to the party and then come home at halftime.
There you go.
There you go.
That's a great idea.
I think I've only been, probably because I haven't been invited, I think I've only been to two Super Bowl parties, and both I remember coming home and being like, I don't even remember the game. Like, I don't even remember the entire third quarter because people were talking, and then somebody brought in a new dish or something like, oh, you got to try the brownies. And it was like, I don't even, this isn't fun. All right, Will, if you're offered, will you buy a square or squares? You know, the game where, you know, the squares. Will you buy squares?
Yeah. Yep.
You will? Yeah, I do. If someone's like, it makes it fun.
I haven't. I'll do the NCAA bracket. I get a kick out of that one. But I guess I have done squares once, but nothing came of it, and I never did it again. So, no, I don't think I'd do it.
I don't remember if it was last year or the year before, but it was just when all of this online gambling was getting passed and allowed, like, you know, MGM and all those guys. And I tried to download an app here in Arizona, and I didn't realize that here in Arizona at this time it hadn't passed yet. So then I got this alert that basically was telling me that I was about to break the law if I downloaded this, and made it seem like if you download this, Mr. Brewer, you may get a knock on the door from authorities. And then I got all freaked out, and I was like, oh my God, what have I done? It was like, we're on DEFCON 4.
The G-men are coming to get you.
Yes, but I think this year I might, for the first time ever, I might put some money down on the game.
Well, here's my question to this.
I'm going to get to that. Yeah.
Which one of us, me or them?
You.
Oh.
No, what were you going to say?
My question to this is, now that gambling is legal, when are they going to let Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, my gosh.
But it wasn't, Robin, you're gonna kill Chris here. He's going to go on a whole nother tangent. But at the time, those were the rules.
I know, but come on. I mean, one of the greatest
Plus
players?
Plus, he killed a guy.
He did?
No, Ray Lewis did.
No.
No, okay.
He's one of the nicest guys in baseball. I mean, come on.
Johnny Hustle, you need to look his stats up, Brewer, when
no,
you're
No, he's... I know, but...
He was the epitome of putting it all on the table every day, man. He belongs there. He's like, he should be the poster boy, but again,
he may be here scalping tickets as well.
That's actually true.
It's not a joke.
I believe that.
All right. What is your favorite tailgating or pregame food for the Super Bowl?
Did you say pregame?
Yeah. So like, I know I saw trivia on this, like, you know, wings, sliders, chips and dip, meatballs.
I would go with sausage platters, man. I just different, you know, jalapeno sausage.
Sausage
whatever.
Party or sausage platters?
You know, it's always a sausage party, but I'm talking about platters.
Ray Lewis will be there. They'll have some killer food.
That's it for me. It may not be a wheelhouse one.
You missed that one.
No.
Sean?
That was a ball.
I gotta go with just nachos and chips.
Oh, nachos. Okay.
That kind of stuff.
Chips and dip. Good call.
Robin?
Kind of the same thing. The chips and dip kind of thing. Yeah.
Okay. So let's say you're at a Super Bowl party, clearly against your will. Okay. Do you, because I've seen this, I've seen like that at a party, and I believe they were talking specifically Super Bowl, the dirtiest thing to eat is the chips and dip, or if they have a bowl of like mixed nuts. So if you see that, because I love chips and salsa or chips and guac or, you know, potato chips and, you know, like a French onion dip or something. Will you just go chip into the bowl that's on the table, or will you get your own plate and put together your own chips and dip on your plate?
Are we talking about for our own personal health, or are we talking about
just what would you do?
Plate to other people.
For you.
Okay, I could care less. If there was no one else that I was trying to be polite to, I'm going into the bowl.
You're going into the bowl. Okay.
Yeah, I would too, but it does kind of weigh on the size of the party, the people that are there. And I know in a previous show, Robin had addressed this with a kid slobbering and wiping his nose and going in there. So, sure. You know, it's if you have family or close friends or something, I'm not trying to worry about the social etiquette of doing it. Plus, I'd rather be lazy during the Super Bowl. I don't know. I think I would go directly in myself, too.
Okay.
I have a solution for that.
So many variables.
What?
I actually did it because I used to cook during the holidays for like 30 people, family and friends. So I got these plastic, like when we did the salsa stuff, I got these little plastic cups like you get at the restaurants.
Yeah.
I bought a bunch of those little plastic cups and they're oversized, nice little dipping cups. And I would put them on the side so you could actually just take it right out of the big, huge bottle, put it into that or put it on your plate.
That's what I would do.
So it avoids the necessary evil of the little kids with the snotty noses putting their fingers everywhere and then going into the dip tray. And some of those dip trays have looked pretty bad in the past with colorful, let's put it that way, colorful things that don't belong.
Yeah, see, you're going to get the hard-hitting questions here. I mean, Radio Row could be talking, you know, breaking down the game and coverages. We're talking utensils and bowls here. This is the important stuff. Okay, chips and salsa or potato chips and dip?
Chips salsa.
Okay. Sean?
Gosh, you're testing me on that one. salsa.
I'm just going to be salsa? The guy that says both.
Both?
There
okay.
you go.
Got it. I would do both. I really am. I am definitely trying to do better with the food for the Super Bowl, because what has happened to me as someone who loves to grill and cook, I always do try to do too much for Super Bowl Sunday. And there's been a couple Super Bowls the last few years. Not last year. I did do a little bit better last year. I find myself still cooking as the game's starting, and I can't stand that. So I finished, I think, the food right before the game started last year, but I'm like, no, still not good enough. I want everything out this year, 15 minutes at least before the game starts.
Do it 30 so you can have a beer and relax.
I've got to get that more dialed in. So Chris, last night I made this half joke because I decided I'm going to be rooting for the Kansas City Chiefs in the game because I just can't root for Philly fans. We can get to that possibly. So I decided I'm going to root for the Chiefs, and I might even put some money down on the Chiefs. So then I said, you know what? If we're all rooting for the Chiefs, I'm making barbecue. Chris, what did I say I was going to make? Poor man's burn ends. We've lost sound on Chris. I believe Ray Lewis is in Chris's car.
Well, I think we did lose sound on Chris.
I think we lost sound on Chris Yarbrough.
I thought that he was just speechless. But,
no. He's double dipping his chips.
Yeah.
That's what happened. No, I said I was going to make poor man's burn ends, and if you've been listening to the show, I failed on that two or three times now. Anyway, so that went well with Chris losing. We've lost Chris. Have we got Chris back?
Can you hear me?
Oh, now we got you.
Yes.
Chris, did you hear my barbecue that I suggested I was going to make?
Yes, that's poor man's
front ends. Yeah.
That is,
that's not going to happen.
I was going to say, you're not going to watch any Super Bowl.
No. And I will probably be told to go to a hotel.
Probably sleep outside.
Yes. Okay, a little trivia. You don't even have to be a big sports fan here. Okay, this year's Super Bowl, obviously, in Glendale, Arizona, home of Chris and Chris. Where is next year's Super Bowl being played? Sean.
I'm not even going to pretend to guess. I've got zero idea. I haven't heard that news. I have no idea.
Oh, it's out.
I believe you.
Okay. Chris?
I'm going Detroit Rock City. I have no idea.
Okay, I'll give you guys a hint. It's never been played here where they're playing it. Next year's Super Bowl will be played in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Of course.
Nice. Yes, and I'm making a hard push that the halftime show needs to be the Killers. As a Vegas band, they should get the halftime show. Okay. Which of these teams has never been to the Super Bowl? Saints, Browns, or Falcons? Robin?
I have no clue, but I'm going to say Falcons just because I love the name.
Okay. Sean?
Browns.
Chris?
Browns.
It's the Browns.
I'm not a football fan, so there you go.
The other teams that have never made it to the Super Bowl? The Detroit Lions, the Houston Texans, and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Let's keep in mind Detroit and Cleveland are not expansion teams. The other two are expansion teams. All right, layup here for Chris. Which teams, there's two, they're tied for most Super Bowl victories with six. Sean, we'll start with you. Two teams tied with the most Super Bowls.
So I'm going to embarrass myself here. Steelers and 49ers.
Okay, you got one. Robin?
Whatever team Tom Brady was playing for.
Oh, of course.
Okay,
yeah.
we got a blend. Chris?
Steelers-Patriots.
Steelers-Patriots, both with six. Yeah. All right. I did not know this. How much does the Lombardi Trophy weigh? So that's the trophy they hand out to the winner. Is it 5 pounds, 7 pounds, or does it weigh 11 pounds? Chris?
I'm going with 7.
Robin?
I would guess 7.
Sean?
11.
It weighs 7 pounds.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm only replaying that because of the Buccaneers victory when they were all drunk and throwing the Lombardi.
They did. I think Tom Brady threw it.
Yeah.
Didn't he? Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Which city hosted, and this is, don't think of if it was in a dome, so this was an outdoor game. Which city hosted the coldest Super Bowl? Sean, any guesses? Coldest Super Bowl. Which city?
New York.
Okay, good guess. Chris?
Minnesota.
Damn, that was my guess.
Technically could have been, but this is the on the field, so it wasn't played in a dome that year.
Mm. Thanks for giving me all the variables, asshole.
I actually said that before before I asked for answers. I did say that.
Wow. I'm loving this. I'm loving the fire.
Just put your foot in your mouth.
I just didn't hear it.
I have no clue because Minnesota's my guess because that's pretty cold.
This is when the game was played in Tulane Stadium. The coldest Super Bowl was played in New Orleans, Louisiana.
I wouldn't have thought that.
Steelers, Vikings. All right. Last few questions. How many wings are consumed on Super Bowl Sunday? How many chicken wings will be consumed on Super Bowl Sunday?
As a whole or?
As a whole.
Are we going pounds or wings?
No, number of wings. It's a full pound, Chris.
10 million.
10 million, okay. Way higher.
I'm going 30.2
million?
Yes.
Way higher.
74.3 million.
1.45 billion wings.
Damn.
Wow.
Will be consumed on Super Bowl Sunday. Okay. Last one. How much, this is dollars, how much money will be spent by Americans on beer Super Bowl Sunday? Chris and I put quite a dent in this.
Half a
million? In 2005.
Half a million?
Way higher.
Jeez.
We've lost Chris again.
Sean. Yeah, I was definitely going to say...
Chris is back.
I had a call.
No problem.
Came on my...
10 million.
Way higher. Chris, did you hear the question?
Negative.
Okay, how much money will be spent by Americans on beer Super Bowl Sunday?
Oh, I'm going to go $2.5 billion. How about that?
That was 2005 when you and I were watching the Super Bowl. No, it is $1.3 billion will be spent on beer.
Wow.
Super Bowl Sunday.
Robin, okay. you threw me off with your half a million.
Okay, real quick, I wanted to ask these. So this not game trivia. We're now at the stadium, okay? Food prices. How much will a hot dog cost at the stadium on Sunday? One hot dog.
Chris. $14.
Sean says 14.
I said 14.
14,
too.
Robin.
I'm going to double down on that 25.
$12.75.
Wow. Okay.
So knowing that, how much do you think a hamburger or cheeseburger will cost?
16.
Oh, nailed it. Awesome. Okay, one individual domestic beer or wine. Same
16.
Price. 16?
$10.
10, Sean?
12.
$17. And a premium beer is $19. Or excuse me, a craft beer is $19. Okay, two more questions. How much, on average, is a 30-second spot in the commercial during the Super Bowl? 30-second spot during the Super Bowl.
During this Super Bowl?
Just on average. I know it fluctuates.
I remember when we were kids, we were floored that it was like $1 million.
I know. It's gone up.
30-second, $4 million?
Okay, Robin says four. Chris?
Yeah, five and a half.
Five and a half. Sean?
I'm gonna go higher than that, six.
$7 million. $7 million for a 30-second spot. Okay, last question.
I feel like this is the showcase showdown, the way we're debating.
We're having fun.
I was about to say $6 million in one.
No, there are no prizes here. There are no prizes. Okay, last question.
The prize is I get to be around all you guys.
Yes.
Come on now. It's fun.
That's everybody's prize. Okay, 50-yard line seat, lower bowl. So, like, first 10, 15 rows up, 50-yard line, single ticket. How much is it?
50-yard line?
One single ticket.
50-yard line?
Yep.
$10,000.
Okay, 60? Robin says 10.
60?
60,000, okay.
18,000.
25,000.
Wow. The price of a car.
For one ticket.
The price of a car. That's insane.
So to bring it back, 1979-80, my dad scalped tickets for probably less than $50, is having drinks from the scalper's jacket, and now a 50-yard line ticket is $25,000. It's changed a little bit.
It was fun to watch the I mentioned the Laker game on Wednesday night. Those tickets were pretty ridiculously expensive as well to be sitting at that game.
They were at the level of the Super Bowl.
I got to tell you, with that happening, Sean had mentioned that at the beginning of the show, with LeBron getting the new title,
right?
His words were amazing, right? Did any of you hear what he said?
I almost made that into the show, and then I was like, I don't, nothing about what you were going to say. I was going to have a whole little segment here. It was supposed to be funny. There was going to be some audio. I could not believe he said that during his speech.
It's the epitome of all that's wrong.
That's exactly what I thought.
His team lost. They had the celebration.
Yep.
And then the first thing you say is, fuck, man. Thank you, guys. I mean, that's not the role model I want my kids looking at. They just do everything the opposite of that guy. How about that? So I could go on for an hour with this without anybody even giving feedback. I actually,
it's the first NBA game that I watched the whole game. And I'm a Clippers fan, but I made appointment television to watch the game. I stayed up too late.
Oh, I did not.
I did. Not. I wanted to see it because it was a record being broken. And then I was so utterly disappointed with his speech. And the whole thing was just, like you said, it was classic ESPN. It was classic over the top. L.A., LeBron, it was not great.
Yeah, it was poor taste.
Yeah. Anyway, ton of great sports going on. Pebble Beach was awesome last week. LeBron, whether you like him or not, that was historic going on this week. You've got the WM golf tournament this weekend, Super Bowl this weekend. Cool time to be a sports fan. I'm glad we were able to talk about it. With everything going on after the Super Bowl, just so you guys are aware, I'm going to be going into a dark room for 4 days, do some reflection, some internalizing, but I will be in a dark room for 4 straight days.
Is this punishment? Is this something that Alex put together?
I can't believe you missed that. That is what Aaron Rodgers is doing.
Yeah.
He's going into a dark room for 4 days to try to determine where he's going to play football next year. So I will be doing the same.
Well, next month, I hope you guys got my text that I think the three of us, five of us, including Jason and Robin, should do a March Madness bracket for fun.
We should, without a doubt. All in. We will do that.
Can I throw in a quote that I wanted to work in somehow, but couldn't? And so now I'm just going to disrupt the show and say it.
Do we have sports quotes? Sure.
I have a coaching quote.
Okay.
How about that?
Yeah.
You can apply it. You can apply it to coaching your team, and in your work environment. Ready?
Yep.
Don't be upset by the results you didn't get from the work you didn't do.
Well said.
Ooh. Oh, thanks, Dad.
I like it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Sean, do you have a quote? That's a good quote, Chris.
This is not inspirational as much as it is just I've always liked this because it's entertaining.
Okay.
I will not rest until I have you holding a Coke, wearing your own shoe, playing a Sega game featuring you, while singing your own song in a commercial starring a Super Bowl, that you are winning, and I will not rest until that happens.
What's that from? What is that from?
Jerry Maguire.
Oh.
That's so funny. I was actually in that movie because it was filmed in Arizona.
Holy.
What?
Yeah, it was filmed here in Arizona.
Good Lord.
Because I was actually going to do the line, show me the money. But he,
wow,
he did it first. We're in sync today. This
Holy
is fun.
Holy smokes. Chris, what was your quote from?
My quote is not from a movie. It's from an actual coach. I have a ton of them.
Gotcha.
It's basically his goal is stop making excuses. You know, you can go, winners see the dream and develop plans, while losers see the obstacles and develop excuses. It's a problem with a lot of stuff that I see and just kind of analyze from outside or being involved, that just excuses. So you want good results, do the work, you'll get them.
I like it. I'll leave you with a quote from my favorite sports movie of all time, my favorite movie of all time. A lot of great lines to take from it, but this sums up a lot. It's from the movie Hoosiers, and it's the end of the game, end of the championship game. Coach calls a play. The team gives him kind of a befuddled look. He's not sure what's going on, but he was going to use his best player as a decoy. And their best player, Jimmy Chitwood, just looks up at his coach and says a lot. He just says simply, I'll make it. I don't know if today's kids quite have that same attitude, but maybe they'll get there with stuff that, like you just said, Chris. But that's one of my favorite lines. Just a confident, I'll make
it.
Awesome. All right, guys. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the rest of your week. Thanks for jumping on.
Yeah, good to hang, everybody. Good to talk again.
Maybe Jason's right. Best show.
Have a good weekend,
we'll
guys.
See you guys.
See you.
Thanks for listening to the Dad Podcast with Chris Brewer. Join us next time as we continue our conversations about everything dad, right here at StarWorldWideNetworks.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.